Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
You ready? We're going to preach a message called Stand. It's going to be a good one. It's part of a message series I've been in unofficially. My wife told me this is the Tough Love series. I just think it's the Kingdom Living series. Oh, we'll get to that. Now, you guys ever read the book of James and wanted to punch that guy in the face? Like, you read the book of James, and he just comes at you. He's like, you know, you need to man up. It's going to suck. Like, you just need to be better. And that's the book of James. That was Jesus's brother. But imagine, your brother is Jesus, and here's Jesus, and you're his brother, and you're trying to, like, be a pastor. And you're like, well, all right, let me make my mark on society somehow. We'll get to that. Okay, so I want to read you guys a verse of scripture that you've heard before. We talk about it a lot, but I want to bring it from a different perspective. And there's actually a lot in this particular verse, and you'll see it when we get into it. We're going to read it. You're going to be like, oh, I've heard that. Oh, I didn't know these were all in the same scripture. And then we're going to pull some new things out of it. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 15. This is Paul talking. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. We love the armor of God message, yes? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, agents, or against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We've heard that, right? I don't battle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual things. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, what word stands out to you guys in that? To stand. And as my wife beautifully preached a couple weeks ago, even this idea of like your feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This idea of shod, as she explained, is actually like putting cleats on and digging in that you might stand. And it's interesting that Paul is saying there are battles. We got to understand what those battles are. But his advice in the fight is all about standing. Gird your hips with truth. Right? Be unmovable. The cleats, be unmovable. And so it's really interesting that the theme is coming out of this. Because let me ask a question. Have you ever been in a battle that feels like it won't end? Yes, I think more of you have than who gave me that feedback. Let me ask again. Have you ever been in a battle that feels like it won't end? Yes. Let's be honest. We get these all the time. There's different seasons, and some of them are, you know, short-winded, and some of them feel like they last years or decades. We're in these fights, and it's exhausting. And we fight for different reasons. We fight different things. Like, look, I'll be honest. People making problems for you? Do you know how much easier it'd be to be a Christian if there weren't other people? I would be such a better Christian if it wasn't for everyone else. It would be so much easier to have patience if it was just me and the Bible. I'd have so much more self-control if I didn't have kids. You know, the reality is like we have a lot of problems and they come from a lot of places. You know, a lot of times we look at the people making problems, or maybe it's the things the devil has brought upon you. You know, what is the thief getting the upper hand? Oh, every time I do this, my car keeps getting wrecked. I keep having bills. I keep getting fired. You know, I keep getting sick. We have all these attacks of the devil against us. And at the end of the day, we just get exhausted. You ever have that moment? And you have a choice to make. Do I keep fighting? It's not gotten me anywhere yet. Do I cut and run? Is this just not a winnable battle? Do I need to get out of here? And we have to ask the question, you know, at the end of the day, our nature tells us our response to battle is fight or flight. But the gospel gives us a third option, and that's to stand. And I want to unpack that for us this morning. So can I do that? So I'm going to break this down in two different ways. The first is fighting the right fight. The second is fighting the fight right. You see what I did there? So let's talk about fighting the right fight. Let me tell you something we all do. We make people our enemy. Let me see if this sounds familiar. They hurt me. They disrespected me. They didn't acknowledge me. They don't agree with me. They're in my way. They didn't act fairly. They didn't do enough. And those are just the things I said this week. But the reality is we go through life and we see a lot of our problems and we put faces to them. Maybe rightfully so, maybe not. But here's the thing, when we start judging the people around us as what they add or subtract from our life, do you realize that? Do you notice, ever notice, that your quality of life can actually be measured by what people add or subtract to you? That the battles in your life are the result of someone, so what someone added or subtracted to your life? We tend to treat people this way. We tend to go around and say, my life would be so much better if it wasn't for that person. I'd be so much further along in work if it wasn't for that boss or that coworker. I'd have so much better relationships if it wasn't for this ex, or, you know, I'd be a better person if not for my mom or my dad. And we judge everything. We get so caught up in what people do and how they treat us. And whether it's what we judge the world by what it adds or subtracts from us. And if that's our view of the world, we've placed ourselves in the center of our worldview. Wow, so true. You might say you are self-centered. If your quality of life is based on what people add or subtract into your life, you're tracking with me, we might be self-centered. And look, I'm preaching to myself here because it's so easy to go through the challenges and to say, look, like my fight is with people. Life would be so much easier if everyone else was perfect. Wow. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so we look at this, and so a lot of times the battles that we face have faces on them. Wow. You tracking with me? But Paul says, our battle isn't with flesh and blood. Okay, that's hard. Well, maybe it's the demons that are in them. Okay, I don't blame the person, but they've got demons in them, and I'm gonna go to town after that. And we're still projecting, and we'll look at things that are happening, you know, and whether it's people or whether it's spiritual or whatever it is, we get to this place of like, if something is adding or subtracting from my life, that's how I'm gonna fight. Because that end goal. But did you ever think about this? God has a permissible will. Look, bad things happen. God doesn't cause them. But God also has full authority and he could stop them. And the Bible talks about God's permissible will. So if you're in a battle, God didn't cause it, but he's allowed it. Now, why would he do that? See, we go to God a lot and we say, God, there is injustice in my life. And injustice is real. You know, it's so easy for us to recognize what's not right. I can see the injustice. I can see the injustice of what people do to me. I can see the injustice of things that happen to me. Injustice is basically saying this is not how it's supposed to be. And we're good at recognizing that. And so we go to God with the fight. We say, God, the fight is the injustice. Fix this injustice. And our prayers to God are always, fix this injustice. And you know, God wants to fix the injustice, but yet he allowed the injustice. God is a good God. He wouldn't do things to hurt us. But could it be that when we're asking the question of God, why won't you take away this injustice? The better question is, if you allowed this, it must be for my good. How could this possibly be for my good? And when we talk about fighting the right fight, we like to engage things head on. You know what I mean? We love to say, I'm going to fight this fight right in front of me. I'm going to, whatever is right in front of me, I'm going to externalize the fight. The problem is, if all you're fighting is the external fight, but God wants to work everything together for good, what happens when you win the external fight? Are you just looking to return to comfort? I just want to get through this fight so I can go back to being comfortable. I have this oppression on my life, and no one wants oppression on their life. No one wants to be the thumb held down on them. But what happens when that thumb comes off? Are you any better for it? Are you just living for comfort? But then that doesn't mesh well with the gospel of increase. See, we talk about prosperity, don't we, Christopher? And we talk about that God has big plans for us. And here's the thing. If your life is small, then get through the battle. Go back to your small life. And I know I say that and it sounds harsh, but let me tell you why there's a better option. Because if you understood the kingdom that was in you and the calling and the assignment that God had for you, you would understand that the fight isn't just, I'm going to fight the smallest possible fight to return to comfort. But if you knew that there was more for you, you would have something to propel you forward. And you would realize that every fight is just a sharpening and a preparation. And so the right fight isn't just the fight that's in front of me. It's the fight of, this fight is for me. You tracking with me? And so, the only way to fight the right fight is to choose to believe that God actually has more for you. That he actually has greater assignments and greater promotions, and he has purposes and plans for you that go beyond your comfort. But when we're trapped in just the battle in front of us, we're also trapped in our comfort. It could it be that we're fighting the fight in front of us because we're insecure to our future? But all of this is critical, and I know this is we're going deep here. But fighting the right fight is not the fight in front of you. Look, God snaps his fingers and the walls of Jericho come down. God speaks a word and storms will stop. Storms will stop over your life in a minute. Who's had a miracle where God has done something and in an instant your battle is over? Because we have a miraculous God. It's not his inability to win the fight. It's his desire to see you become a king or a queen in the kingdom. And so the right fight is actually knowing what you were designed for. See, our battle isn't with flesh and blood, but sometimes it's with our own flesh and blood. Our battle isn't, you know, necessarily, it's with principalities and powers, but not just straight up demonic forces. It's the things that stand in the way of who we are called to be. And so to fight the right fight is to know that the fight was actually meant for you. Yeah. It's not meant to stop you. It's not about what adds or subtracts from your life. We have to be willing to see how we engage the world around us. And I actually believe that God has big purposes, big plans. And when you know that, every battle is an opportunity and an invitation to say, all right, God, how are you using this? Yep. Not, God, I want to run. Or God, I just want to keep fighting till this is over. I don't care what you have to say. I just want to be done with it. Could it be that we're still in the fight because of fight or flight? And so it matters which fight you're fighting. Yes, it's easy to go against people. That was unjust. You know, I love King David. And you read the Psalms. And he will say, oh, heavenly Lord, smite my enemies, cut off their genitalia, burn their households. And I'll be like, amen. But by the time he gets to every one of those psalms, he says, nevertheless, Make me one of your chosen. Make me your beloved son. And it's interesting because we love the first half of that psalm. We love the first half of that attitude. Yeah, God, there's injustice. Woo! And then we stop reading our psalms. And at the end of every time, it's nevertheless. Form in me. Factor in me. What does it actually mean to fight the right fight? And why is it that the fights you're in might be spinning? Why is it you may not be able to break out of your fight? It's not that Jesus lacks the power. Could it be that we forgot to ask, how is this for me? Does that make sense? So I want to read you a verse from our favorite Bible author, James. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Oh, patience, our favorite word. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, a lot of us will try to gird ourselves with patience. All right, I'm in the fight. I'm in the trial. I just need to have patience. But patience isn't the end state. You're not supposed to stay in the trial. When I say fight the right fight, I do mean you're going to get through the fight. Patience is not the end goal. We're not meant to live with thorns in our sides, dealing these perpetual battles that we never overcome. But the idea is that patience produces in us perfection. Your trials perfect you because there's more for you than going back to comfort. Amen? We doing okay? So that's fighting the right fight. Let's talk now about fighting the fight right. So we talked about the options. There's to fight. And often we fight the wrong fight, which means we never break the cycle. I just go to war. You know, I go to war harder. I just try harder. I fight harder. I keep increasing my intensity. I'm going to start getting, you know, swords on my wall and say prophetically, God, see, I'm a warrior, and we're just not going to quit until we fight this. And we fight and we fight and we fight. But if we fight the wrong fight, we're going to get battle weary. But the other option is flight. And flight might be okay in some battles, unless we understood that the reason we're in the fight, God's allowable fight, is to form us. And if God's desire was to use the fight to form us, if we flee the fight, God's going to send the fight back after us. Because it wasn't just about comfort. It wasn't about escaping the fight. When you run from the battles God has for you, he will allow the battle to follow you. Because it was never about getting out of the battle. It was about being formed. And that's why we need to learn what it means to stand. Amen? All right, so let's go back in our Bible to the story in Daniel. How many people love the story of Daniel and all the cool things? That's an amazing time. You know, when the Jews get in slavery for 70 years in Babylon, it's a great time. And they had prophet after prophet warning them, hey, if you guys don't behave and listen to God, you're going to go in a 70-year time out. And they didn't listen, and here they are. And that's when God tells Jeremiah, tell them, hey, know that the plans I have for you, they're good and not evil, to prosper you. And he's telling these, like, we love that verse. Oh, in Jeremiah 29:11, this is beautiful things God says over us. Yeah, as you're on your way to 70 years of slavery. Let's keep that in mind. That the fight was not about the fight. It was about the forming. So while they're in Babylon getting formed, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's three friends. And King Nebuchadnezzar built this massive statue of himself. And he said, okay, when you hear the music play, you must bow down and worship the statue of me. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they hear the music, and when everyone else kneels, what do? They stand. Oh, isn't this going to be poetic? They stand. And so what happens? So the king fetches for them, and he says, you heard the decree, right? Like, you know what's supposed to happen here. Why are you standing? And they say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. and he will deliver us from your hand. But even if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we don't serve your gods, nor we worship the gold image which you have set up. And we go, they took a stand. You know what they didn't do? They didn't fight. They didn't say, Nebuchadnezzar, your laws are unfair. We're starting a coup. We're getting all the troops. We're going to storm the castle. Good luck storming the castle, you know? You guys, some of you know that reference. But they didn't fight. Nor did they run. They didn't say, uh-oh, you know, let's run out of town because we're about to get thrown into a furnace and die. They looked at Nebuchadnezzar and they said, you have unjust laws. We accept the consequence of your law. Wow, how many times have you stood in the face of consequences, in the face of injustice, and said, I will not fight, I will not flight, I will stand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw these decrees, and they said, take us to your furnace. Because we were called to a greater assignment. See? They had calling on their life, and it's interesting. We all know they get thrown in the furnace. And Jesus was in there with them, and he preserves them, and they come out, and Nebuchadnezzar realizes, I think their God is real. Would he have seen that if they fought him? Would he have seen that if they ran? But not only does Nebuchadnezzar recognize the goodness of God, he appoints the three to be generals over the nation. And the three got their promotion under the very man who was fighting them. And it turns out that when we fight or flight, when God is calling us to stand, we stand in the way of our own promotion. The very man who sent the decree and sentenced them to an unjust punishment was the very man who recognized God's hand on their life and promoted them and brought them into an assignment to actually fulfill what God had wanted to do and to elevate the cause of Judaism in slavery while they were in Babylon. How many of our stories, how many times do we actually miss the promotion because we want the battle to be won here and now? But God is saying, if you will stand, I will move, you will be developed into who I need you to be, and I will cast down the things of injustice. See, God brings justice. Is it any different? Was Jesus any different? When they beat Jesus and they tied him, you know, they nailed him to a cross and they put him up there and they're making fun of him and they're tearing his clothes and he says, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. I will die for them. Jesus did not fight his punishment. He did not go to war against the Romans as so many wanted him to do. Nor did he run. Do you know how many people would have supported Jesus and smuggled him out of town in a heartbeat? Yeah. What did Jesus do? He stood. He stood and he said, Father, the fight that you have in this is not the fight that's before me. I need to fight this right. It turns out that real strength isn't the pain you can inflict. The pain you can endure. In Romans 12, verse 14, Paul is saying, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. You catch that? We think it's wise to retaliate. It's wisdom to not just sit there and take it. The world tells you, you don't deserve this. You need to go get yours. You know, you need to go out and retaliate. But the wisdom is not to repay evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place for the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. for in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God is telling you, he knows the struggles we're in. He knows the fights we're in, whether it's with people or spiritual things or whatever's coming after you. We fight the right fight, but we can fight the fight right. And when we can stand, when you can say, though you have cursed me, I will bless you because I see what God is doing. See, you are not the enemy. Flesh and blood is not my enemy. But rather, God is producing in me something, and he's going to cause it to rise up. And I trust that God will repay. This fight will not last. The fight will end, but God will end the fight, and I will allow the fight to form me that I can actually step in to what God has for me. 1 Peter 2, 20 through 21, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? In other words, if you deserve punishment, yeah, like there's no credit to you. If you deserve punishment and you recognize it and you take the punishment, right, you're supposed to be getting punished. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. You should follow in his footsteps. How do you fight the fight right? God strengthened me to stand. Everything in me wants to fight with all I've got, or everything in me wants me to flee and run and get away from this. But what we're really running from is the goodness. We're actually running from the goodness of God. We're running from what God wants to bless in us, how he wants to prosper us, cause us to increase. And so when you're stuck in the battle, the question isn't, God, get me out of this. It's, God, what do you have for me in this? And it's a declaration that, God, I trust you, that on the other side of this is increase beyond increase, that I'm not just trying to get a zero-sum game. A battle came and I killed the battle and here I am again. But God is trying to tell you, I have more for you. But my strength isn't how you endure. It's in how you stand, that God desires that we stand. And I've done it wrong all the ways. I've fought. I've ran. And even when I start running away from something, you get that little check in your spirit. Hey, I need to come back and actually stand in this. God's a gracious God. He'll look at your situation and say, good, come on, come on back. It's no, how dare you keep fighting? How dare you keep running? He just says, when you're ready to turn around and come back, let's pick up where we left off. And so much breakthrough in my personal life has come when I realized I need to stand. I need to shod my feet. I need to get the strength to endure. You know, I need to be able to say, all right, injustice, hit me on one cheek, can have the other too, because my strength is in knowing that the fight does not overcome me, but also I do not fight the fight alone. Amen? Come on. So I want everyone to just close your eyes and just reflect on this. Sit in this. Because the reality is the only way that this works, the only way that you could possibly choose to stand as an option is to know that while you stand, Jesus fights for you. See, Jesus gives you the strength to endure, but he also fights for you. The goal is not that you would be stuck in injustice, but justice only comes from our Savior. And so the only way to live in victory is to be attached to that Savior. And so if you're in here and you've been in the fight, you've been fighting with everything in you and you can't break through, or you've been running and you realize the fight follows you, and this resonates, and you realize I've been doing it alone, I want to invite you, come walk with Jesus. Come alongside him. Let him tell you, you have what it takes. Let him give you the strength to endure, and let him fight the fight for you. And so if you're in here today and you're far from God, you don't know Jesus, you don't walk with him, you haven't been walking with him, but you realize the fight is wearing you down and you're tired of walking alone, my invitation to you this morning is to come walk with Jesus for the first time or again, that you can be as victorious as you were meant to be. So if you're in here this morning and you're far from Jesus, come back home. If you need to tell Jesus, I'm ready to come back home, I'm ready to do this with you, will you raise your hand in this room? Come on, amen, come on, yep, amen, 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 yeah. Come on, Jesus, I'm ready to come walk this with you. I haven't been doing it and I'm ready. Amen, hands everywhere, I love it. Will you guys repeat after me, especially those of you who raised your hand as we make a dedication. Say, Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross when you didn't deserve it so that I could have life, and that you rose again to give me strength, to give me purpose. I choose today to walk with you, to stand, to let you fight, to bring me victory. Fill me now with your presence as I walk with you forevermore. Amen.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.